One safety back deep. Here's the pitch to Swift. Tosses it back to Caleb Williams. Looking deep down the left side. Going for Luther. Burning over the shoulder. 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Thank you to Chicago Radio for that. We were wondering, where was the creativity? Well, we got the flea flicker, yeah. Touchdown, Caleb Williams to Luther Burden, and the Chicago Bears put a thumping on the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, Pearl, but it was not just that. It was almost like, I don't say too good to be true, but everything was going right for the Bears. All the questions that we had going into this game, Caleb Williams, you know, was he going to be able to, execute the offense? How do they look as like a team? You know, are they together? You know, they're joking around with each other on the sideline. The Dallas Cowboys defense was the elixir for the Chicago Bears. Everything was going right for them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you have to worry if you're the Bears. What happened to Russell Wilson after throwing for 450 yards against the Cowboys in week two? He was just terrible this week.
Yeah, so last night.
You have to be a little cautiously optimistic. I wouldn't really come away from that game and say we have the offense totally fixed. And even with all that going on, like Caleb still, there are a couple simple kind of throws that he has trouble with. I'm not quite sure why. It feels like that's common for these gigantic arm quarterbacks. But you did see, especially that flea flicker, like that dude's got a hose.
Yeah. And it's just funny to me, though, because, you know, Caleb has a lot of haters out there. And a lot of them were in Chicago, quite frankly, after they lost to the Lions in the way they did. But does this look like that turning point in the season where they could be a little bit of a rocket ship, where they could actually take off? And the reason why I would be optimistic if I were a Bear fan is because this is exactly what you thought it would look like with Ben Johnson. It's not like they're doing something so out of the box. We wondered if Ben Johnson's style would mesh well with Caleb Williams's talents. And yesterday was the perfect combination. Again, they got helped a little bit. Dallas's defense is beyond bad, like embarrassingly bad. And Dallas lost CeeDee Lamb early in the game, so even their offense couldn't really get right.
Well, the thing is, think about Williams is he's not getting a lot of yards. So this concerns me a little bit because I'm obsessed with the Chicago Bears getting a 4,000-yard passer. Do you think that Caleb Williams is going to do that? I do notice that they want to be conservative. They want to run the ball. The problem is they until this week, they have not run the ball well. So that's why I'm saying I'm not sure everything is fixed in Chicago. Yesterday he had 296 yards passing against the Cowboys, where Russ had 450. I do think he's going to be like a 220 to 250-yard a game passer. He's going to be good, but I think it'll be two steps forward, one steps back. I might be a hater right now. I do not think like it's going to look like this all season long for Caleb.
No, only 87 rushing yards yesterday for the Bears. And I guess where you worry about it most is when the weather gets bad, right? And when you can't throw the ball and you can't be pushing the ball downfield, you know, what's going to happen then? But the fact of the matter is they were just much better in the red zone. I mean, everything, all the things that were just really big questions at least got answered for yesterday. And then, you know, as far as Dallas is concerned, I said it, the Micah Parsons trade would be a shadow over this season. Now, they have no pass rush.
None.
They're going to see Micah Parsons this upcoming week in week four. But the back end of the defense is also awful. So it's all not working for Dallas. Like, this looks like a four-win team. And Jerry Jones said yesterday they're still a playoff team. Check his prescription glasses.
I would go more than four wins. That's pretty bad. I mean, here's the thing. Dak Prescott wins at a very high level, a high rate. I think he's over 60% of his career. And he looked great. For whatever it's worth, like, he still looks very, very good. Assuming that the CeeDee Lamb injury is not bad, I think CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and Dak Prescott can cobble together some wins. And actually, Javonte Williams looks really good, too. They're running back. So the offense will win some games. But there's no, like, playoffs. There's no Super Bowl again. This defense, ironically, paid all these guys, too.
Yep.
He didn't pay Micah Parsons, and he paid his DBs. He paid his other defensive linemen. And it's just been a total disaster. Let me ask you this question about next week against Green Bay. You would think if any game would get that defense up and get them hyped up and ready to go, it would be seeing Micah Parsons. But why do I feel like that's just not going to happen?
No, I'm looking next week and thinking, man, Jordan Love could really use a bounce back game after losing in Cleveland yesterday, and their offense looked absolutely anemic. I think Jordan Love is more likely to have the get-right game against the Dallas defense. That defense is now the Village Bicycle. I mean, everyone's going to get a ride if they want to get things right. And, okay, so maybe that Dallas doesn't have four wins, Pearl. Maybe five. Okay, so here are Dallas's wins to me for the rest of the season. Maybe you win at the New York Jets. You win at Carolina. You beat the Cardinals.
I mean, you never know. With the Cardinals okay, will be at a one-score game until the end of Earth.
I guess at Las Vegas, and then you beat the Giants at the end of the season.
Wow. I know. Yeah, they do have this hard schedule, but you just named some easy W's.
Okay, but they also have to play your Eagles, Kansas City, at Detroit. Minnesota looked like they were in their bag yesterday defensively. The Chargers are not a walkover by it. They might have one of the best defenses in the league. At Washington, it ain't happening this year for the Cowboys. So
no, playoffs is outrageous.
But you got to hope that one of these quarterbacks, like that it's actually the college quarterbacks, that maybe it becomes a little bit better of a class. Because if the Cowboys are picking in the top 10, you got to go quarterback this year, right?
No. What are you going to do? Dak looks great. Why would you give up on Dak? He's 32. Why not just have Dak Prescott your quarterback? If you don't draft a defensive end with your number one pick next year, then there's something wrong. You would tell me you would go, that's what your problem with this team is?
They need to reset everything, okay? They said that they said that Micah Parsons being on the team doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to win games because he can become ineffective. And Dak Prescott throwing for all these yards is going to end up amounting to bupkis. They need to reset.
That being said, it probably will not be a strong quarterback class. This is not the year. Dak is not the problem. And he's 30.
I'll agree with you. He's not the problem.
Like, I just Googled his age. I felt like he was older.
Well, he's had a lot of injuries.
Still, I mean, he might have 8 more years of football left.
And he started as a rookie.
He's just expensive.
Very expensive. 888-710-4ISN. So you can weigh in on the Cowboys defense and how bad it is. Did you think it was going to be this bad?
By the way, the Cowboys will almost definitely draft an offensive lineman for the 8th year in a row next year. They'll definitely go O-line. Jerry's obsessed with recreating the
90s.
Or at least the Zach Martin line. Mm. That's the problem. Forget Dak Prescott. Forget who they're drafting. How long is Jerry going to pretend to run this team?
I mean, till the end of time. Stay tuned. There's no end in sight. So, anyway, that's what's going on. And then on the flip side for Chicago, do you believe this now, right? Like, is this the Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson that you were promised? Okay, last night, Chiefs come to New York, beat up on Manny's Giants.
Right.
But I don't know if we really feel a lot better about the Chiefs. This wasn't, they marched into town, Perloff, and they just completely mollywopped the Giants. And, you know, Russell Wilson is just bad. When he's not playing against the Dallas Cowboys defense, it does not look good. The Giants are completely discombobulated. They have talent on the defense, but, you know, Mahomes was still able to make some things happen.
Yeah, massive test next week for the Chiefs. They face the Ravens. We'll see. The Ravens, hopefully, for the Chiefs, will be beat up after a tough game tonight, short week. So I do not see how Kansas City puts together enough offense to match the Ravens. I just can't. In my mind's eye, without Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, I just can't see how they do that.
No, it's going to be, they're going to have to hopefully kind of grind the Ravens like a little to a halt. And we'll see tonight, Ravens-Lions, a good Monday Night Football matchup.
I mean, but the Ravens can always pull the Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry running game. I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, the Chiefs cannot keep on being this conservative offensively. It's got to stop at some point. I think Rice helps a lot, but last night, again, this was a good game for the Chiefs, and it still, for the most part, did not look fun to watch in any way. Did they promise us a vertical passing attack this year?
Yeah, but then, you know, Rashee Rice got suspended for 6 games, and Xavier Worthy ran into Travis Kelce, and he's apparently in a body bag somewhere. Also, if you're around the water cooler today, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce got into a shouting match last night on the sideline, which some people may be talking about in your office. Stan is in Westport, Connecticut. Stan, had to be a tough watch. I know you're a big Giants fan.
Yeah, it was rough. But I'll tell you what, I was pretty proud of the way the defense played and came out in the first half. I mean, they really got after Mahomes. They really were very disruptive. I mean, Burns is incredible. Like, that guy's definitely an all-pro.
But Stan, here's my question. How did Patrick Mahomes cause a fumble on Bobby Okereke after Okereke picked up Patrick Mahomes' fumble? How do you let a quarterback take a football away from you when you are a ferocious linebacker?
We have to admit Patrick Mahomes overall is probably one of the savviest football players we've seen ever, right? He just knows how to play football.
Except for those backward passes to Isaiah Pacheco, which they should just burn that part of the playbook.
Yeah, and there's another guy that came locally from Rutgers who was a seventh-round pick. So, you know, anybody can be a star, right?
Yep.
I think that's the message. But, you know, I got to give the Chiefs a lot of kudos. I mean, I'm not a big Chiefs fan. I'm kind of tired of Taylor Kelce thing. But the adjustment they made at halftime and coming out on that first drive, so clinical. All those misdirections, the dinks and dunks, and they really opened up the field, and they really neutralized the Giants' D from the first half. It was like a different game. And that drive was all they needed to win. And as you say, if Russell Wilson's not playing the Cowboys, he struggles. Now, let me just leave you with one thing, which is a bonehead move. And there's a lot of heat on the coach and the coordinators and, you know, justifiably so here. But why, for the love of God, would you put your prized Jackson Dart in for one play that turned out to be almost like a planned run? I mean, that would be headlines. You know, guy gets crushed and is out for the year because you put him in for one snap. I mean, it's insane. I don't get it.
Stan, so, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Thank you for the call. I don't get why they do this with Jackson Dart. They bring him in for one play on like a first down. He got 3 yards and a cloud of dust, I guess. And then he's out of the game. It's like either you're developing him, let him get into a rhythm a little bit, give him a drive, or you're doing this to maybe appease the fan base, but they've turned on you. They're booing. Or to appease the Mara family who owns the team. I don't know who this is for.
I don't get it either. I think he was probably supposed to pass the ball on that one play, maybe. I do think there is something of interest with the Giants. I think 31 GMs are watching that team really closely to see if they can shake Brian Burns loose, because he's definitely one of the top 5 defensive players in the NFL. He's a freak and he is awesome. And if my Philadelphia Eagles weren't in the same division, I would say trade 3 first round picks for him. He's incredible and should be on a winning team. Unfortunately, he's got a Panthers Giants resume that is not good. They said something that his winning percentage as a pro is so awful. It's like one of the worst in NFL history.
So the Giants traded 2 first round picks to get him and paid him.
Yeah, a ton. But he's worth it. Honestly, I think he belongs somewhere else. He just does not belong there. And that's why Kansas City was doing that short passing game. He's Burns, and then Dexter Lawrence was blowing up everybody too. But Burns was coming around so fast, Mahomes smartly got rid of it.
Stan brought up a good point. Coming out of the third quarter, coming out of halftime, Chiefs have the ball. They go on an 11-play drive, and it was 3 yards. There was a 17-yard to Hollywood Brown, but it was felt like 8 yards, 10 yards, 7 yards. It was not that sort of, I guess, dink and dunk, and it was clinical. Mahomes throws a 5-yard touchdown pass to Tyquan Thornton, and then it was 16-6. And it felt like that was so insurmountable because the Giants' offense was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think a key play in that game was the long pass interference. That was not good.
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, that was not good by the Giants. Like, all you have to do is not interfere there. And they totally did. That was sort of symbolic. I think that got Casey rolling a little bit.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Quickly, we'll go to George, who's in South Bend. George, you don't want to talk about the Irish, though, right? You want to talk about the Browns?
We're very happy in South Bend right now. I mean, it's awesome that they finally won a football game. But I'm a University of Delaware grad, full disclosure, so I'm all about Joe Flacco. And I don't know how it's happened that this narrative has developed that somehow whatever success happens despite Joe Flacco. The reality is, I mean, if you ask Ray Lewis tomorrow, why did the 2013 Ravens win the Super Bowl? He'd say Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco was the MVP. And honestly, I don't think his skills have diminished much. I really, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Stefanski, and he's forgotten more about football than I ever knew. But I think he ought to just let Flacco be Flacco and go ahead and start stretching the field and throwing the ball deep. I mean, he definitely can still do that.
Hey, George, if I gave you a choice, you get one quarterback, Joe Flacco or Rich Gannon, for who's the better Delaware quarterback of all time. Gannon won an MVP.
Yes, he did. NFL MVP. Yeah.
Yeah, so who do you got?
Flacco. I really believe, you know, and Flacco, Gannon, of course, lost that Super Bowl to Gruden right after Gruden had left. But and they're both great guys. But I just really think Flacco is a superior talent. And I mean,
it didn't look great yesterday until when you need. This is the one thing I'll give Flacco credit for. George, thank you, because I didn't think today we were going to have, Manny, a poll question. Who is the better Delaware quarterback, Joe Flacco or Rich Gannon? I can't wait to see the results on that one.
Both wonderfully nice men, by the way.
Yeah, what I will give Flacco credit for is, you know, at the end of the game, after the blocked field goal, and now here are the Browns with a chance to steal this one at home. And, you know, Flacco completes a pass and they have to get up to the line of scrimmage. Like, you have to be so buttoned up at that point. So for Stefanski and for Flacco and for the guys who are running the offense, the fact that they were able to execute that, they got right to the line of scrimmage, perfect textbook, spiked the ball with 2 seconds left. And then the rookie kicker nailed a 54-yarder to beat the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely, they should.
Like,
I
could a rookie
say,
quarterback have done that? I doubt it.
They should be 2-1, although they really should be 1-2 because they shouldn't have won yesterday, but they should have won week one versus Cincinnati. Kind of a similar situation. They were in the wrong end of that whole mess. You're not going to Dylan Gabriel. Like, that's the thing. Once Kenny Pickett left the building, it was really solidly Joe Flacco's job. So I don't think you can't see, their defense is too good. Now I think they're probably, by yards per play, the best defense in the league, and they're playing like the best defense in the league. I think you have to ride Flacco for a lot longer, maybe even till the double-digit games. We thought Shedeur Sanders would be in by week 10. That's not happening now.
And for the Packer fans, who are you putting yesterday's loss on? All right, we can talk about the Cleveland Browns defense till we're blue in the face. Packers are a Super Bowl contender. I thought the offense was bad yesterday. 888-710-4ISN. So you're welcome to weigh in on that. Coming up next, it's the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a massive weekend?
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, this portion of the show is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood. Square. All right. It's Monday. That means stock up and stock down on the Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie, get us started. Stock up.
My stock up, Pearl, goes to Indiana Hoosiers football, the 11th ranked team in the country. They were the 11th ranked team in the country. I think we're a little higher than that now. Actually, double check. 63-10. They beat Illinois, Pearl. Illinois was everybody's Big Ten darling this year. And we have spent a lot of time clowning Indiana, saying, you know, listen, they didn't deserve to be in the college football playoff. Who did they play? And then they lost embarrassing fashion in the first round. This was a big test for them. Illinois is a very good team. And Indiana just absolutely throttled them. So Kurt Cignetti following up last year with another great year and a 63-10 win over a good team in the Big Ten in Illinois.
Yeah.
Stock up even higher on Kurt Cignetti.
Well, I mean, we don't know if they're good, they're good now. After that game, I had Illinois in making my college football playoff. I think that dream is over. I mean, they were the number 9 team in the country. It felt like it was all shaping up. Okay, my stock up. Can we talk about Sam Darnold for a second?
Wow.
I mean, a guy who everybody had sort of given up on, and then I think people were dubious about him this year. It's the Saints, so we have no idea. But the Seahawks destroyed the Saints. He was 10 for 11 at half with 169 passing yards, 2 TDs, and a perfect passer rating. And do you know the number off the top of your head of the perfect passer rating? I think you do. Think about it. 158.3. Sam Darnold was doing the 158.3 thing, ended up a little bit lower, but he looked in total control. Looks like he's figured out this offense. Is that just the Saints D had been pretty good up until this point, but they had to go outdoors on the West Coast and look terrible.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was on one of my TVs in a 3 box. with the Arizona-San Francisco game and also with the Chargers and Broncos game, but I almost just took it off because it was like, this is distracting for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. This game was over after the first quarter.
A lot of JSN running around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if the stock goes up, that means the stock's got to go down. I don't think the stock could be any lower for Dabo Swinney right now. So last week, Dabo Swinney, the Clemson head coach, stood in front of the media and said if the fans and the powers that be at Clemson were so sick of him, they should fire him.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on their way because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not.
This is the wrong day to stand up in a press conference, the wrong week to stand up and try to be an arrogant jerk in a press conference, because then Clemson loses at home to Syracuse, and here's more from Dabo Swinney calling the loss to Syracuse among the most painful.
Obviously an incredibly disappointing outcome and start to our season. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. I mean, just a lot of pain. I've been in a lot of painful locker rooms. That was up there near the top.
Yeah, they're 1-3 now to start the season. And Pearl, even Nick Saban called out Dabo Swinney on game day, saying that if he doesn't adjust to the times, he's going to be even further behind. So, No, Dabo, I don't think that the fan base is sick of winning. I think they're sick of losing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should blame the weather on that one.
The weather delay?
Yeah, I mean, that was ridiculous, by the way. Okay, my sock down. This, I don't know who to pick, the entire team or just Michael Penix, but the Atlanta Falcons, that was an all-time no-show yesterday. They lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers, Baggy. Penix ended up 18 for 36, 172, 0 TDs, 2 picks. Is he going to be bad now? What is going on here? We talked about a lot. Can we read into Caleb Williams' great day? Will it sort of move forward like that? Is Michael Penix not good now? I was so into this guy last week.
Okay, weird stuff in this game. 2 missed field goals in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was bad.
How do you have the team muff a punt, sets you up inside the 30, and you somehow are asking your kicker then to like nail a 60-yarder, which, by the way, kickers can hit except for the one in Atlanta.
Well,
it was crazy.
Listen.
Here's my big question. Yeah, Penix, okay. How about the offensive coordinator? The embarrassment of riches in terms of playmakers that they have on Atlanta, and somehow no one's been able to figure this out.
Well, I think they have a GM and a coach problem, too. We know that, I mean, nobody still understands. They drafted 2 pass rushers in the first round, including trading away next year's number one to get James Pierce at 27. That could end up really biting them. That could go down as if Atlanta plays this badly moving forward. That could go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. What if that's a top 10 pick?
I mean, the Panthers just hung 30 on you. That is beyond. That's not just like a bury the tape. That's just like you got to actually make a human sacrifice. No, I'm just kidding. And Ted Oro McMullen looked like one of the best players on the field yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That guy can fly. He reminds me a little bit of Mike Evans.
Okay, where are we? Stock. That was stock up? That was stock down. Excuse me. All right. So the stock goes back up. We have not talked about this. How about Dan Quinn? Is he the toughest guy in the NFL? Toughest coach, right? I thought maybe Dan Campbell was holding that. He got trucked in the game. Bloody nose. Looked like Steve Nash in the playoffs. No doubt. No problem. You know, Commanders taking care of business against the Raiders. They got a backup quarterback. No big deal. The Raiders are not what I thought they were going to be. I am not feeling good about my Raiders are going to be spunky. Prediction.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you had them. Did you put them in the playoffs?
I did not end up putting them in the playoffs. I thought they would be in the hunt.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit below with what we thought they were. The thing about it, it's annoying me, is like, why did you draft Ashton Jeffy at 6? Like, he is just not producing. He's not really like an all around back. Like, he can't catch the ball. I saw some things on him picking up the blitz. It was a little dicey. This is all bad there. All bad.
Is that a stock down then? Did you just do another stock down?
I want to do my stock up though. Yeah. Can we talk about Isaiah Rodgers on the Vikings? Mm-hmm. Former Eagle.
What a day.
Oh my God.
He deserves a day.
He single-handedly won that game. I've never seen a... Sorry, I'm getting his final numbers here, it was like every single play he was doing something crazy, and they were celebrating. That game was over so fast. Remember, I was talking a lot about how Jake Browning was going to light up the night against Minnesota. It turned out, again, he threw a lot of catchable passes. Unfortunately, they were catchable by Isaiah Rogers. But he was incredible. He had an 87-yard interception return for a TD, a 67-yard fumble return. He was all over the place. And Carson Wentz, my guy in Minnesota, didn't need to do anything besides defense, scored at will on Cincinnati's woeful offense.
Yeah, this is bad for Cincinnati. We were asking if Jake Browning could, like, hold the fort until Joe Burrow maybe comes back. I think the answer is absolutely not.
No, he can. He's okay. I'm telling you, this was just a bad day. And once the Bengals gave up, they really gave up.
Yeah, that's true. Did you say they should all be benched in the second
half?
They
should have benched Jamar Chase. It was the play after a big fumble, and Jamar Chase had a normal routine 10-yard catch and just had terrible ball security and let the ball go. And didn't even look like he cared. He didn't even really chase after it. There is a give up fear here.
All right. Is that the signal? That's the sign. I was going to just do one more stock down here. I have one more stock down, one more stock up, if you don't mind. I'll do them quick. Stock down Arch Manning. You know, I think everyone's overreacting to it, Pearl, but he stares down a Sam Houston State defender after he ran in for a touchdown, and it felt a little pick on someone your own size. I mean, Sam Houston State, they came in, they lost 55-0. Arch has not been very good, and now all of a sudden he is Mr. Tough Guy, you know, when you're playing against a team that's not even in your league. Now, is it like, you know, should we take him to the public square and, you know, and shame him? No, he's still a teenager. He's a kid. He wanted to show a little moxie. Same kind of stuff we like out of Baker Mayfield and others, but people did not like that from Arch Manning.
Yeah, I mean,
showing up your opponent.
I think there was, as you said earlier in the show, some sympathy for Arch that he'd probably been a little overreacted to his slow start. Now it's like Florida's defense is actually pretty good. I mean, they held LSU to 20 points. They held Miami to 26. That's an accomplishment. So I think they might really shut down Texas's offense, who, it's not just Arch. There's a lot of problems with that offense. I don't care what happened to Sam Houston State. So I think if you're mad at Arch, you're going to have maybe a chance to unload. The big test is, how does he respond to this? Did he gain his confidence? It's easy against Sam Houston State when there's no pressure. I still have no idea who he's going to be when he's under pressure next week and the week after that. Once he gets an SEC play, Oklahoma, this is a TBD. Like, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. Of course, yeah, that was stupid to flex over the guy, but we still don't really know if he's good, Maggie.
That's true.
I mean, it's hard to tell. We'll know a lot more in 3 weeks from now after Florida and Oklahoma.
Do you have any more?
Nope.
Okay, I got one more quickly. Stock up, Andre Schmidt. I mean, this is mostly just my guilt about not understanding what his situation was after week one. We missed all those kicks for the Browns. They lost the Cincinnati Bengals, and we're like, get him out of there, cut him. Didn't realize his mother just passed away from a brain aneurysm. Our bad. That's not good. And Kevin Stefanski stuck with him. He's the guy who kicked the game winner so that the Browns could upset the Packers after Shelby Harris blocked a field goal and Greg Newsom fell on it. So, big moment there for the rookie kicker.
I thought you were going to be feel bad for not knowing how to pronounce his name.
I'm just going with Schmidt.
Okay. No, I mean, early in the season, remember we just avoided talking about it altogether.
It's a lot of consonants.
Yeah. How is it spelled?
I don't have it. I've been spelling it phonetically.
It's I think it's S-Z-M-Y-T. Yeah. It was like half a vowel.
Yeah, remember, like, everyone was just talking around it the first week.
Rookie kicker.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically saying Schmidt on TV.
No, she's right now, yeah. I'd say. But week one, I remember we talked about how we were just like, how do you say this guy's name?
I know. It ends up being a feel-good story. Just one of five block kicks that we saw in the day and three blocked field goal attempts that happened inside 2 minutes. Bogus is here. Pretty crazy.
I think there was a blocked PAT last night. Didn't matter too much as the Chiefs finally have their first win, avoiding their first 0-3 start since 2011. And all it took was a trip to see those crappy Giants.
Wilson calls out signals. Empty set. Takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure again. Throws it high in the end zone. Incomplete.
It's fourth and 10. Why would you throw it away?
So the Giants turn it over on downs again.
Oh, Carl Banks.
Oh, man.
And plenty of Giant fans have seen enough already of Russell Wilson. That red zone possession that ended with that inexplicable throwaway on fourth down also included an intentional grounding on Russ. There were boos and chants for Jackson Dart.
You gotta fight for your right to start Jackson Dart.
What just happened? Doing some arts and crafts in the back.
That's our idiot friend, Sean Morash, who made that song, I think, coming off of week one for WFAN here in New York.
Oh, boy.
But I believe the fight for your right to star Jackson Darty has resumed because of last night. Brian.
Sorry, so it's 6 missed kicks yesterday?
Well, there was a block
PAT?
PAT. I don't know what the number was, but there was a block PAT last night in that game in Giants Chiefs. The one where the lefty punter had to try it.
Holder couldn't figure out how to hold for a lefty.
Right. Yeah, it was weird and backwards. And then weirdly, so the kicker for the Giants was hurt, so couldn't attempt that field goal. But then weirdly in the second half, I guess he was fine and came in and kicked a field goal.
Oh, he wasn't fine. He almost cried after he kicked it.
But
he
made
it. Close enough to try it. That's what it was. Or it took that long to get some kind of medical attention and therapy to loosen up enough to get back out there. But we didn't even see him on the sideline until the fourth quarter. And then he came out and kicked that one and immediately bent over in pain.
I wasn't sure what the distance was from the first one that the punter had to attempt.
Well, so there was one in the first half, their first drive, where they went for it on fourth and three for what would have been like a 40-plus yard field goal. They didn't try the field goal because
It was the extra point. Yeah, so
the extra point was blocked.
But the extra point's not a far kick. What is that these days?
32?
It's too far still. But
33?
Not to start an old argument. I hate that it's still so far back, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it's stressful. Yeah, we don't need
stressful.
That stress.
No, it's supposed to be easy.
But he couldn't kick a PAT, but then in the second half, they could have him come in and kick like a 25-yard chip shot.
Weird.
But like, is there really that much of a difference in how much you need to put on it?
No, I mean, the way it was written this morning was that like he wasn't available until later in the game. I don't know what they were doing to him back in the locker
Voodoo.
Room.
But like, have you ever seen Any Given Sunday?
Yes. when Matthew Modine comes out, and we know her.
Back to the QB. Brian Daboll is presumably the man who will decide when Dart finally starts.
Yep, Jackson's progressing well. We'll continue to work with him. I got a lot of confidence in him, his development that he's had. And that's what we'll continue to do.
A reminder that he's developed far enough to get 3 random snaps and handoffs in this game last night. The Giants have the Chargers next. They are one of the teams they walk off field goal yesterday, a 43-yarder from Cam Dicker for a 23-20 decision over Denver. The Chargers 3-0 for the first time in 23 seasons. Before we leave this game, our good friend Billy Jacquelone, who did not respond to the initial invitation to our knockout pool, that we made the exception. We had to get 2 picks right in week 2 to survive.
Which he did.
And then he goes into this weekend and reignites my concerns that Billy doesn't know what he's doing. While he got Chargers right, he picked Chargers over Broncos, which is not a game that you end up on in week 3 of a knockout pool with 2 good teams like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to call out the fact that he said the LAC Clippers.
Well, that was a joke.
Yeah, that was clearly a joke. But listen, he's taking a risk.
I don't know that he's
down. Okay, so you think he just doesn't want to be in the pool?
Because I was the one that had explained to him initially, like what we needed him to do 2 weekends ago. So I don't think Billy fully grasped the je ne sais quoi of a knockout pool here. But he used to find the easy ones.
Okay, wait. Well, what are we saying here? That Billy doesn't know how to play a knockout pool,
yes,
or that he doesn't want to be in?
Well, no. He wants. Well, they're
he
two
definitely
separate.
Wants. Right. Talk to him about it. He's into it. It's a home game.
Yeah, but that's not a... Who was even thinking about that?
Did anyone lose on the Packers, by the way?
Not ours.
Darn it.
Other people around here did. Oh, no. Well, not that. Then we had the weird Falcons pick by Dave Marinick, and they lost. So he's out off of that.
Which actually made sense. A lot of people we talked about. Yeah. Maggie and I were circling around that game, too.
It never makes sense to pick the Falcons. Never bet on the Falcons.
It's too early for road teams, too. That's why I didn't like the Packers.
It's just you can't trust the Falcons. Ever.
Yeah.
I've been burned on them so many times.
Watch Billy win this whole darn thing.
That's what we were just saying outside when we were discussing this. He's going to win the whole thing with completely backwards logic.
And it's all because we let him have the mulligan
exactly.
after week one.
Let me spin us through the injury report this morning. For every blocked field goal yesterday, there seemed to be a major injury. Cardinals running back James Conner carted off with a major right ankle injury. Chargers running back Najee Harris likely tore his left Achilles. And Niner pass rusher Nick Bosa hurt a knee. The American League got all the way to yesterday, the second to last Sunday of the regular season, without a team clinching a playoff spot.
1-0. Ground ball to second. And the Blue Jays are going to the postseason. Hoffman gets the save. They beat the Royals here today, 8-5. And the Blue Jays have locked up a playoff spot this year.
That's the great Dan Shulman on Jays TV. So they have clinched a spot so far, but not the American League East yet. They have a two-game lead on the Yankees atop that division with now six games to go. The Mariners got their three-game sweep in Houston last night, 7-3. That gives them a three-game lead on the Astros atop the AL West. The Stros remain a game behind the Red Sox for the last wild-card spot. Boston losing in Tampa last night, 7-3. And Manny Tires can confirm that Ryan Blaney won the NASCAR playoff race in New Hampshire. That's just east of Albany, don't forget. Blaney is the first driver to claim his spot in the round of eight.
All right, Rary, don't steal my thunder.
Yeah, this is really Manny's lane, pun intended.
But he doesn't have a segment today, do you?
Well, I don't just wait.
Know. Okay.
Give me until Friday, and then we can touch upon all the NASCARs that you want.
People need to know who won yesterday. They can't wait till Friday.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, right? Especially right now in the round of 12 in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs.
Who called their team's performance, quote, extremely disappointing? Got a couple options from yesterday. We'll get to that
Carlos
next.
Carlos Mendoza?
Carlos Ortiz?
Every Carlos under the sun.
Including
and
my
someone
fat
else.
Brother. Sorry, Los.
Keep in mind, we've never met Manny's brother.
I have. You don't want to.
I feel like he used to be chubby. Is he now fat?
That boy is getting girthier and girthier by the day. Hey, man, it's a pregnancy weight.
Yep, it's someone Manny once called a pile of grease. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Just one person's opinion. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, we'll get back to the NFL in just a moment and which coach called his team's performance, quote, extremely disappointing. But first, let's give you some college football report card. Manny, who's first?
All right, this guy came in the second half, went 13-16, two touchdowns, and a 34-10 win over Utah, Texas Tech's Will Hammond.
That's an A++++ because they were 13-16, but one of the incompletions was a drop in the end zone. He was nearly perfect. It was unbelievable. This was a super close game. This game was in Utah. I don't know how this kid came out of nowhere. I guess he played in the bowl game last year and was good, but Will Hammond out of nowhere, a star for Texas Tech. It seems to me like he's the guy to steward this high price lineup.
Yeah, it's funny. So does he like Wally Pipp a little bit, Baron Morton, who they were high on, but they had 14 penalties in this game, Texas Tech, that they won despite that. When does that ever lead to a winning formula? This is the era of buying rosters, and Texas Tech's got a lot of money, and it looked like it on Saturday.
Every time Utah got them into third down or something, this kid came up with a play, often with his legs. It was an incredible performance, and really, it's supposed to be a very tough place to play. I was wildly impressed. I think they should go with him.
After a 63-10 win against number 9 Illinois, they're up to 19th. They're 4-0. The Indiana Hoosiers, their head coach, Kurt Cignetti.
Oh, man. A++ on this. And Stuart Mandel, the college football writer for The Athletic, Pearl, put it this way. And he goes, I'm not one for hyperbole, but this may be the greatest hire in the history of college football. And you know what? Like, spot the lie. Cignetti took an Indiana football team that was completely irrelevant and turned them into a college football playoff contender last year. I'll admit, you know, obviously a flawed one. And this was a huge statement against Illinois, who everyone was very high on. 63-10, it was just a total throttle.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy grade to give. I'm now dying to know. I'm like, oh, man. I came into the season saying, let's not put Indiana back into the playoff unless they really beat somebody good. Now I'm like, let's get Indiana in the playoff.
I know.
Like, full 180.
Can't live without
them. This is a really good team. I mean, that game, by the way, this could sound weird. That was definitely closer than the final score.
Oh, stop. Wait, Mandy, did you say that game was... They're ranked 11th now.
Yes, 11th. Yeah. Yes, excuse me.
They moved up eight
spots.
Yeah,
they were 19th. They are now 11th.
You know, and actually, Illinois did not fall out of the top 25. They're hanging on, Pearl, 23.
Yeah, I think that... You don't think that game was closer than the 63-10?
Sometimes the numbers tell the story. Sometimes they don't.
I mean, the thing about Illinois, basically, like, they were kind of hanging with them. The game was close, and then, boom, Indiana just turned it on. I thought Illinois was going to... I put in a little live bet on them in the second quarter, and then I realized, oh, my God, they can't move the ball. They're, like, Illinois' offense, which I've always feared about Illinois' offense, is not good either.
37-60, three touchdowns, one interception. Clemson loses to Syracuse 34-21. The Tigers are 1-3. Kate Klubnik, he also had this to say.
Yeah, I mean, we were doing it really all throughout the game. You know, we were doing it all throughout the game. We were playing with tempo and, you know, props to them. They stopped us on some third downs and in certain times. And then, you know, they have an injury or something like that when we really got going. So, you know, that's up to them if they want to be honest about that.
He's got something to say about the Syracuse defenders. How about Cade Klubnik, guys?
I mean, Clemson is the biggest train wreck, but he wasn't necessarily the problem on Saturday.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. I was going to give him like a C+.
C's got degrees.
But then he did this BS where he's calling out the Syracuse players for, you know, saying that he thought they were faking injuries at the end of the game. It's like, dude, you got an hour weather delay. Like, basically the weather gods gave you extra time to regroup and get back out there, and you still couldn't do anything with it. So now that grade on a curve lowers to a D- because you couldn't just take the loss and own it. You had to call out your opponent. Pearl, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you say Dabo. Everyone says Dabo's a mess, but at least Dabo takes... No one's yelling at Kate Klubnik except for us, apparently. Like, Kate Klubnik is going to go scotch-free because Dabo keeps on saying such moronic things in his press conferences. Again, I'm curious. The season is lost for Clemson, but is the career lost for Kate Klubnik? I didn't think he was that bad against Syracuse. Will he be a first-round pick? I definitely don't think so anymore. He was in a lot of mocks as number one overall. But I think, like, he's got to salvage at least a backup job in the NFL now. That, to me, is probably the most interesting thing about Clemson moving forward.
I just would like to say I think that Klubnik lost the plot the same way his coach lost the plot in the middle of the week. It's looking like a lot of entitlement at Clemson if you're making these comments coming off of a loss. You guys are losing games. You're a national title contender. What are we doing there?
Yeah, they're just being sore losers.
A 30-27 win, ranked 19th now. They're 3-1. Sharon Moore is coming back. And this comment as well from their interim head coach, Biff Poggi.
What are you going to do tonight to celebrate?
I'm going to eat some Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream with my wife and smoke a Cuban cigar and then probably go to the hospital.
And A+ life, if you ask me. What grade would you give the interim head coach at Michigan?
You know, I'm going to give him an A-. It was great. I mean, they go into Nebraska, they win. I'd never heard of that combination before. Coffee, ice cream, and a cigar.
Sounds good.
And then the hospital, which is probably smart.
Pure happiness.
I love coffee, ice cream. That's my favorite.
It's very good.
And cigar, it sounds like it would go good with cigar. Coffee and cigar goes well. That guy's a character. I had no idea until the pregame shows that he's a quote machine and just a madman. I'm kind of wondering, like, Michigan winning with interim coaches, like, do they need their head coach? Could you or I maybe sit on the sideline in Ann Arbor and win a game here? Have they lost any of these interim games? I don't think I think they said it during the game. They're undefeated with interim coaches.
Yeah, well, maybe Sharon Moore should have sat out that Oklahoma game. They maybe would have won that one, but they didn't. But they beat Nebraska. Fun quarterback battle. I actually thought Raiola looked pretty good, too, despite the fact that they lost. Okay, lots more to do, including, said it before, the NFL head coach who called his team's performance, quote, extremely disappointing. But is everyone actually pointing the finger at their quarterback? Do that next, M&P.